I'm Anand Bhatt, and you're listening to The Perpetual Brawl. In every episode, we'll dive deep in conversations with some of the most ingenious minds. We'll learn from their experiences, which will add value to your life. Occasionally, we'll also be discussing topics that provoke you to broaden your perspective. Many a times, we come across situations where we feel that we need to do something that benefits the society. We think twice about it, and then we choose to let it go, to not go ahead with it. Our guest on today's episode came across a certain dilemma, but he chose to act and take responsibility. Inali Foundation is a non-profit organization with the aim of providing affordable upper limbs to those who have lost them in an accident or those who have lost them by birth. Please welcome the man behind Inali Foundation, Prashant Gade. Hey Prashant, how are you?
I'm good, Anand. Thank you for this beautiful introduction and giving this opportunity to speak at your podcast.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Prashant. So Prashant, at the outset, you know, I'm extremely curious to know about your journey. But then before we begin, just give us a glimpse of the man behind all the hustle. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
So my name is Prashant Gade. I'm born and brought up in Madhya Pradesh in a very small town named Khandwa. I started my schooling over there. Then my parents thought like they should send me to Maharashtra for doing my engineering. So my parents are like, my father is working as a government servant in public construction department, and my mother is a housewife. I do have a elder brother who works with a public corporate in Pune, and then a small nephew. That's my small family. And then mostly for my engineering, I came to Maharashtra and then I found a lot of things. And after that, in 2018, I started an organization named Inali Foundation, which works for people with certain upper limb disability. And that's a small brief about me, what I do. And that's I think that's a small introduction about me, nothing big.
You rightly said about Inali Foundation. So you started that in 2018, right? What was the idea behind starting it? You know, where did you get the entire kick of getting this? I'm sure that there was something that, you know, completely changed your perspective towards looking at people who have no upper limbs. So, you know, what was the entire scenario exactly?
Okay. If I go back and say how the story started, how I came into all those stuff was not just because maybe I was having something to do with disability, but at a very young age, I lost my grandfather and I was like very small, and he was very close to me. I was born and brought up by learning about great kings and queens who gave their life for their country or for their people, and maybe to make their place a better place, I could say. And my grandfather used to tell me about the stories, and I was very close to him. He used to tell me more about engineering and what engineers can do after they have this power of engineering. And my grandfather struggled a lot to make his living. He was a cab driver. Then he used to work after his retirement also. But one day he passed away, and that was something really shocking for me, not just because he passed away, but I saw he struggled a lot in his life, and the day he died, nothing he took with him, not even his home, not even his money. So I came up with a question at a very small age that, like, why did grandfather didn't took anything with him the day he died? So I just asked this thing with my mother, and she replied, this is what happened. We cannot take anything with us, right? And that's life. So I was like very curious about this thing. Then what's the purpose of life? If you cannot take anything back with you, why we are struggling to be first in the exam or be first in the race? What's the purpose behind it? Why we want to do all those stuff? Get a good job, get a great house, earn a lot of money. So at a very small age, this question came into my mind, and like nobody answered what can be the purpose of our life. And maybe I thought engineering could give me the answer to all my questions. So I thought, okay. And even I heard a lot about engineering and the kind of work engineers could do. So hopefully I got admission in the engineering college. I was not that good in engineering in my studies. I should not say I'm not good in engineering. That's a wrong thing. Every kid is an engineer. So what happened? I got an admission to an engineering college. The real world of engineering was quite different from my expectations. Like, I was thinking about engineering is like something where jahan pe aavishkar hota hoga, aavishkar ki baatein hoti hongi, बट ना वो आविष्कार था ना आविष्कार की बातें थी, बात थी तो आप वो 40 नंबर कैसे लाएंगे, एग्जाम कैसे पास करेंगे, आपको जॉब कैसे मिलेगी, नथिंग एल्स. एंड इट मेड मी लाइक आई गॉट फ्रस्ट्रेटेड विद ऑल दोस स्टफ्स बिकॉज आई कैन नॉट बी अ शेप एंड जस्ट वॉक इन दिस क्राउड एंड लाइक स्ट्रगल फॉर दोस 40 मार्क्स. आई जस्ट वॉन्टेड टू डू समथिंग डिफरेंट एंड आई थॉट दिस इज नॉट अ राइट प्लेस फॉर मी एंड इट वोंट गिव मी द आंसर्स दैट आई एम लुकिंग फॉर एंड आई डिसाइडेड ओके आई शुड लीव ऑल दोस थिंग्स एंड फाइंड समथिंग एल्स. So I started a lab named as Curiosity Lab, where I used to teach to my juniors and to my seniors how to make robots and make projects. So basically, during my summer vacation, I used to get a lot of time. So I used to surf on the internet or maybe go to some classes where I can find a bit knowledge about robotics. So that's the reason I started this lab. Maybe I thought teaching would be something that give me the sense of purpose of my life. And I thought, okay, let's try this out. And so for a few months, things started well. But after a certain time, I felt, no, this is not the thing that I was looking for. And I left. And now my parents got a bit frustrated. And then they sent me to Pune to my elder brother. They thought like, maybe bade bhai ki sangati mein rahe ke ye kuch sudhar jaye. And I was like, okay, fine. I went to Pune, started living with my brother, and he used to teach me a lot of things, the kind of elder brothers used to do with your brothers, like be serious in your life, do things like this and that, then you get the job. Look, I'm at a good position and you should do something like this. But for me, life was something different. I just wanted to explore the entire world, see people, meet new people, explore things and see the real meaning of life. Like, this is not the reality. If you see at a very early age, if you go and talk with people that I want to do this, they will say, be practical. Yeah, this is not a life. Go and earn money. So people think life is all about money. So I started searching for a job, and hopefully one day while searching for a job, I got an opportunity to join a lab named as a Fab Lab that was in Pune. And now while working in this lab, I got another opportunity to join a course called Fab Academy. So Fab Academy was a course by Center of Bits and Atom at MIT Boston. That was a long distance learning course. Now to complete this course, you must have a project. And like every other kid, I was looking for a good project. And that's what happened. One day I got the chance to meet a guy named Nicholas. Nicholas was from France, and in an accident, he lost his right arm. But instead of crying, he actually made a robotic arm for himself. I was really amazed with the kind of robotic arm that he made. And I thought, oh, wow, let's do this thing. Nothing to do with the society or kind of innovation that I wanted to do. It's just for my project. I just wanted to complete that project, get my degree and like find something else. Now, one day while working on this project, one of my professors said, like, why don't you go out and meet some people who might need such prosthetic arm? And that's the first time I got a chance to meet a girl named Shreya, who was born without her upper limb. And I cannot explain the moment I actually saw her. And it's something I think most of us see people struggling around. But I think there are only two things that we do. Either way, if you see a person missing limb on a footpath or maybe on a traffic signal, what do you do? You'll say, main kya kar sakta hun? I'll give out some money or maybe help him with the food. That day, I didn't came up with that thought that maybe I could give out some money or something and just move up. I thought I should do something because I wasn't able to sleep at least for 2 days. Her face was coming in front of me and I just like, I wanted to do something. There are certain examples like this where I feel that people should take a step when they found somebody is on the street begging, especially kids, or maybe begging with their amputated arms, or maybe you find a transgender or something. Ask them, talk to them, like, why you are here? What are the problems you are facing for? So that gives us more sense of being human, right? So that's what I thought, like, let's help her out. And I actually went to a company and I thought, why not to gift a prosthetic arm to her? Because I was not that expert in making a prosthetic arm at that time. So I thought, okay, I'll just buy 2 prosthetic arms so she could have a good life or something. So the next day, I wrote an email to a company saying I need 2 prosthetic arm for this 7-year-old girl. And you cannot imagine, the quotation that I received from this company was shocking. They quoted me 12 lakh for 1 arm. So it's for 24 lakh for 2 arms, 7-year-old girl, the arm can do a movement just open and close, and how it could be so damn expensive. I thought, let's find out how many people need this. So I found the number, which was really crazy. That's on the internet that I saw in that time. Some website was showing the different numbers, but this is what I found. Like, every year, more than 500,000 people lost their limbs more than 85% of them are still living without any solution. And the reason is affordability. And most of them are from developing countries like India. I thought this is something big and I need to think about. But somewhere from deep inside, I got that feeling that maybe this could give me the sense of purpose that I was looking for, that why I'm born, what is the reason I'm on this earth. And I shared this thing with my parents that I just wanted to leave my course and leave that job and wanted to do something for these people who are missing their limbs. Or which my parents said, like, this is not your age to do something for the society. First, earn something for yourself. Like, I was 22 at that time. And for me, my parents were right at that point. And from their point, they were right. But like, for me, more important was like, I cannot sleep. I was getting those faces in my head. I can't stop dreaming about this, that I want to do something. And I told my parents that I just wanted to do, but they didn't listen about it. And they just put me into another course saying that, no, you complete this course and you'll get a job and just do a job in parallel. You can actually do a lot of stuff while doing a job. But for me, I cannot put my both legs on different ships and walk in a different way. I cannot focus. So I thought, okay, fine. First, I had a no option like but to go for this course. But what I did, actually, this class was full of about 120 students. And I was thinking, like, who will notice, like, if one student is missing from the class? Nobody. And nobody cares. It's all about you and how serious you are to get a job. For me, I wasn't serious to get a job. For me, that was something else which was really important. So actually, I used to bunk those classes, sit into the hostel room. And within 20 days, I came up with a design and put it on the crowdfunding platform so I could raise some money to build this device. But I didn't raise a lot of money. But an NGO from Jaipur saw this design and this campaign and said, like, please come to Jaipur, show us what you have designed and we'll see what we can do. So I went to Jaipur and within a meeting of 3 hours, they gave me a small grant and then asked me to come back with 7 different designs. Now, this was a big time for me because I have to decide either I have to go for that course that my parents want me to complete or either go for my dreams. And this is what I did. That was a real hard decision for me. And this is what I did, actually. I clicked the photo of the check that I got from the NGO and sent it to my father saying, I know I'm going to upset you by not doing what you want me to complete. But for me, I can actually upset you, but can't blame you for my entire life that I failed just because of you. Or which my father replied, like, whatever happened in your life, now you are the responsible person. For which I was like completely agree because he did his best to give me a good life. I wasn't happy in that. So the entire new journey started. I rented a small room, like which was pretty outskirts in Jaipur because I didn't have a good amount of money. I have to eat once just because limited amount of money. I have to spend money to make those 7 designs. So every time I used to make those hands go to the NGO and show the direct test with their patients. But every time he used to say, we cannot afford it. It's a bit expensive. So I came up with different design from like 2 lakh to 1 lakh to let's say 70,000 to 50,000. But every time he says, no, I cannot afford it. And I still remember like almost 5 months were passed and like I was running out of money and time. So I decided, okay, let's go and talk with him how much he can afford. Over which he replied $100, nearly 7,000 rupees, which was really shocking because I was talking about a hand which was costing about 12 lakh and how you can expect something to make in 7,000 rupees. That's crazy. I cannot do this, but now no way to go back to my father and say I failed because I broke every single bridge which can take me to my past. All I have is to go forward and do something. So this is what I did. Actually, I started thinking like a kid. Like if you ask a kid, go and do something, he won't say to you that I'm not an engineer. And how can I do this? He'll say, okay, fine, I'll try. So that's how I came up with this. If you talk about a middle-class family, the best thing your parents teach you is like, jitni chadar utne pair phila. And that's how I came up with another thought, how to do more when you have less. I started looking for nearby things which could help me to make those prosthetic arm in a cheaper rate. So I created my own circuits. Like, for example, I found more things to make it cheap. For example, if you look at the JCB toys, the cranes, they have a lever and it looks like a finger. I was like just visualizing it as a finger. It was not looking to me as a lever. And I thought, why not to use the same mechanism of the toy to make a finger? And if I can do that, that could be real cheap. Crane was costing about 200 or 300 rupees at the time. The other thing, I was in Jaipur and I used to go to watch this shows on the roads where people were playing with the dolls. And there are certain threads or strings through which they make this doll to dance. And I came up with another idea that if you look human hand, you'll find that the muscles look like strings. And whenever you move your finger, there is a certain muscles which is pulled back. If I can use a certain mechanism and make certain string mechanism which actually pull those fingers back. So most of the expensive hands have expensive fingers. I could say motors to small motors to make those fingers movement, but I don't have. But what I had was a badminton racket. I pulled out all the strings out of it, put it into my hand and connected with a single motor, which actually started pulling the strings and the fingers started moving. So this is how I came up with a different way, I could say, approach to make this hand. Then most of the expensive prosthetic arm come with the silicone fingertips, which give you an entire different grip to hold objects. But now I don't have enough money to get those silicone tips. But what I had was like a hope to make something. So basically, my mom gave me a hot water bag, and I was like rubbing my hand over this hot water bag. And in a moment, I realized like, this bag was having a really great grip. And I thought, why not to use this bag? So I cut the entire hot water bag and put it on the fingers. And I got the same grip like the silicone tip. And that's how I came up with this innovation. In next 20 days, I went back to the director, and the arm that he was asking me to make in 7,000 rupees, I created it into 5,500 rupees. And he was really shocked. He said like, now we can give you some work, but how you're going to make it? So the thing is, if life becomes so easy and you get things so easy, you won't value it. So that same thing happened for me. Now I have the hand. I know how to make it in a very affordable cost, but I don't have machines. And I was a bit thinking like, what's going to happen now? Even I can't go back to my father and say, please give me some money. I want to buy some machine. But I feel when you don't lose hope, things happen. A miracle happened for me also. I posted some videos on YouTube, and one of our professors in US actually saw those videos and sent me a mail. Hey, we are doing a conference on biomedical devices. Would you like to come and show us what you have designed? And I was like, who is going to say no? I went to US, gave a talk, and I was there for 13 days. And like after this talk, they came back and said like, how we can actually help you out? I didn't ask for any money, but I actually gave them the entire situation that we have a lot of people who need this device. I have a solution, but I don't have machines to make all those stuff. So they said, okay, fine. We'll come back to you tomorrow and see what we can do. So the next day they came back to me and said, like, we are giving you 10 machines for free. And I was really shocked and happy that maybe nature didn't give me huge connects and all, but he gave me good people to make this difference. I came back to India, started this foundation named Inali Foundation. So the entire work started from 2015, and the foundation got registered in 2018. Now from 2018 till date, we have been able to help more than 5,000 people with this free prosthetic arms. We say we got the opportunity to help them because we are grateful that we get this chance to be a part of this initiative. A lot of people came forward, like Sudhamurthy ma'am, who is a blessing for us, who actually believe in our initiative and came forward to help us in all best possible ways. We say that she's the mother to Inali Foundation. She always believes in every sort of work that we do. Apart from that, but this question was still there. Did I got the answer to my question that what was the purpose of my life? So yes, I did. And that's a sweet story behind it. I met a lady who came to our center to get a hand, and after getting a hand, started crying. And when I asked like, what happened? You didn't like the hand or what? Over which she replied, just looking at her hand, tears in her eyes, saying, now I can comb the hair of my daughter. You know, how granted we take our hands. That could be a very small thing for her or for us to comb. A mother could comb, but the hair of her daughters. But like for a mother, it could be a very big and precious thing that she can do for her daughters or for her kids. And that's the day I realized life is not about taking something with you when you die. It's all about giving back to the society, whatever you have learned. Maybe if you can send one kid to school, that's enough. You have done your part. And that's what we have to do with this life. And that's what I've learned throughout this journey. And that's about Inali Foundation. And that's about Prashant. Thank you.
Prashant, I mean, hearing whatever you said, I am literally spoiled for words right now. I mean, I'm experiencing everything from, you know, joy to excitement to, you know, a lot of things, man. I mean, right from going into engineering to starting your own foundation to giving back to the society in unimaginable ways. It's really, I mean, kudos to the work that you're doing, because this is something that, this is a road that is, you know, very less traveled, at least by the people of our generation. And just more power to you. Continue doing the good work that you're doing, man. I mean, it's actually amazing.
Thank you, Anand.
So Prashant, you also very recently, you know, received the REX Karmaveer Global Fellowship Award by iKongo, right? And also, you've appeared on the special Karmaveer episode of KBC along with Mr. Sonu Sood, who's also been doing great work for the country during this ongoing pandemic. So, you know, tell us something about the award and the experience and how, you know, life has changed after that experience.
Okay, it's a beautiful experience. So for Karmaveer Award, I wasn't able to go because I wasn't in India at that time, but somebody from my team went there. People look in a different way now. It's a kind of, I think awards are the part of life, but they make you more humble and keep you grounded, keep your feet on the ground and make me feel that, okay, I have to go more, I have to do more. And that's an honor, yes, it's a beautiful honor, but more important, it make me more humble and kind toward the work and toward the people that I'm doing. Apart from that, my great experience was with Kaun Banega Crorepati, that's KBC Karmaveer episode, because I wasn't aware that I was the youngest Karmaveer at KBC. And that was something which made me more happy because it could be inspiration for a lot of youngsters who might be looking at those episodes of KBC, because it's somewhere deep inside me. I want to spread a message to all those young generation who's looking at this thing that please don't run behind things which are like have no existence today or maybe tomorrow they are going to end and you'll think that what was the purpose, that why you did all those stuff, so you earned a lot of money and all, but where it is now. But while being on a KBC platform, it was a great opportunity to meet the legend Mr. Amitabh Bachchan and this kind man Mr. Sonu Sood. And it's a blessing for me because I feel Sudha Murthy ma'am was the first Karmaveer on KBC. And I feel honored because I could say I cannot be a small sand like this big personality. And if I get a chance to sit on the same seat where she had the chance to be there in front of Mr. Bachchan. And it's a great opportunity for me. While we started working with Sonu Sood also. And that's a great man. After meeting him, like, people started tweeting him and asking for support where they wanted to get a hand, and without a second we got a call from Sonu saying that there are certain people who requested for a hand and let's support them and help them out. And maybe in a week started fitting hand with Sonu Sood, and that's a real honor for me to work like person him and the kind of work he's doing. I just wanted to share a beautiful experience that I had with Sonu Sood. Was one of my close person during the COVID was not getting a bed in the hospital. And I was struggling real hard to get him to the hospital. And it was nearly about 8 o'clock in the night and she was struggling with oxygen. I thought like what to do. And the last thing was if I can just give him a call and ask him if he can help. I thought, okay, fine. I just gave him a text message that this is the scenario and like I'm just looking for a help. Can you help me out? The next moment I got a call from Sonu Sood saying, you know what I can do. Give me the details of the person who's looking for support. And within few hours, the lady was in the hospital with the oxygen supply. And I feel he owes her life and the respect of the country. And I feel really blessed to meet certain people like him. And I think it's more big. It's growing more big because it's not just about him. We started doing something else with projects like Xiaomi, where Sonu Sood is also coming forward, where our goal is to give 500 pre-prosthetic limbs to girl kids. So this thing we announced this year on Women's Day, where we're gifting 500 girls their limbs back and make them more independent and give them those wings to fly again. So it's not about just KBC. It's came up with certain different opportunities where we are actually trying to collaborate with different people, different organizations, and bringing more independence to the society.
Prashant, you know, you've given back to the society in ways that more that one can expect, in unimaginable ways, but then you're still an entrepreneur, right? So India as a country is the third largest startup ecosystem in the world. And the majority of those are technology-led startups. So over the past decade or so, we've seen that there's a wave of entrepreneurship in our country, but then a massive chunk of those companies either wear off or they fail in the long run. So, you know, why do you think does that happen?
I could say a simple, beautiful answer that I've always said. If I wake up in the morning and I feel that what I'm doing, then I'm going to fail, because starting a company or starting a project, it's not that easy. You have to keep that passion every single day. It's not about working 1 or 2 hours. You have to give more than 18 to 20 hours a day. You have to believe in your team. Make sure your team believes in your vision, that why you wanted to do this, why it's so important, and why their presence need to be there. So you have to see in a different perspective, your family and all. But sometimes what happens where people struggle is like, it's real hard to start something. And when there are a lot of reasons, I could say, maybe you cannot give this time with the same passion that you used to give in the early periods when you started the organization. That could be the first reason, the passion and the love toward your organization or the work that you are doing. The second thing, it's come with a lot of risk. So how good you are in taking a risk. When you say you didn't get a money for 1 day, 2 day, but it could go for a year or two, how you are going to face those things. And if you are so hard and damn good at that at any cost, I'll make it. So then you may succeed. But if you quit and you say, no, this year I didn't got any revenue and I cannot keep myself, there might be certain reason where people actually say, okay, it's fine. I have to go and look after my family and I have to now go for a job because I didn't got anything. But then you're not at the right place if you're thinking in that sense, right? If you want to start a company, you forget everything. It's that company, it's that thing, that it's that cause that you want to pursue. Nothing else. Sometimes you have to keep everything aside to make things work. And it can be your family also. Many times we have seen people lose their relationships. Things become hard for them. I've not talked to my family for more than 6 to 7 months while struggling over this because there was nothing for me apart from this. So it's all about what you're willing to give to get that thing. If you're willing to give everything, then definitely one day you will see yourself at certain heights. And more important, success is always rented. You have to pay every day that rent to be there. You cannot owe it, right? So that's, I think, there's no definition of success, but it's a kind of thing where you have to pay every single day to make it work.
100%. Coming back to your domain expertise, Prashant, you know, that is robotics. I'm sure, you know, you have a lot of passion for it, but that alone isn't enough, right? So to create what you've done today, a certain know-how of technology is also important. So, you know, anyone who's also interested in robotics, what courses or what path should one pursue in order to get affluent with it?
I could say like, there are a lot of resources available across the internet. Like if you go on YouTube, you find a lot of people who are actually taking out their time and like put the lectures. And maybe there are certain people who give out certain courses like Coursera and all. I never took any course online, but yes, I used to Google out about things that how actually things work. If I say it could be a very simple thing, like if I have a toy from JCB, I used to open it and see how it works, how the motor works. Like, so just step by step, when I open a car first time, I saw there is a motor. Now, what is a motor actually? How it works? I used to search on the internet and how things work. So then I started learning more about it on Google, on YouTube. I could say there are certain courses on MIT EDX courses. I never took those courses, but they are really good. If you can give time and wanted to learn about it. Though I used to download those videos and learn about those small topics that actually interest me, like something related to biotechnology, artificial intelligence or machine learning. So I'm not a pretty expert in those areas, but I know if I need to know something which is really important for my project, I will go and search on internet and will find out how this thing works, what are the things associated with technology. But if somebody wanted to learn, there are a lot of things like Coursera, maybe MIT EDX courses are very good. Khan Academy was something I used to see some videos for the designing part or maybe learn coding. I used to learn MIT App Inventor, which is really good for people who wanted to do something like code their robot with and control them with mobile apps. Like so it's a great platform to do things. So yes, I did went through this platform, but it's not certain particular courses that I have been used, but people can go through this platform and maybe they can get a lot of help.
Got it. So the curiosity to learn is something I understand is very important, even if, you know, because you're the one who went through a lot of things, right? From JCBs to strings and etc. Because you had the curiosity of cutting down on the cost. So having the curiosity to learn is something that I feel is very important in this particular scenario. You know, Prashant, it's been an interesting conversation. We've had a discussion about a lot of things. So just before you know, we end this, because you're an entrepreneur and because you're working for the society as well, you've had a lot of ups and downs, I'm sure, in your journey. So give me like three things that an entrepreneur must definitely do and three things that he must avoid in his entrepreneurial journey.
So first thing, follow your passion. If you have a great idea and if you really feel that's going to work, don't let any stupid to take you out of it. So the first thing is, like, if you really believe that this is something that your heart says it's going to work, please go for it. Don't wait for anybody to say, I believe in you. First, believe in yourself. Nobody is going to be there. It's going to be real hard. The journey will be real difficult for you. The second thing would be, struggles are going to come. It's a simple example. Struggles are going to come. You are going to compete with. So what happened, the second stage where people feel down and they feel less motivated was, is when I used to see different people working in the same field, I used to feel, I am very small at this stage. I mean, what should I do? But at the second moment, I used to tell myself I should compete with only one person, and that's me, nothing else. If you're trying to do something good and if you see that a lot of people, other people who are doing the same thing, just appreciate them, or maybe come up with the thought, oh, there are more good people who are doing the same thing and I should like join hands with them, instead of saying they're still doing. It's not about competition. Never compete with anybody, because everyone has their own race. You are running in a different way, they are running in a different way. So the second advice would be, it's compete with your own self whenever you want to start doing something. And the third thing, sometimes it's what more important is, it's not to run, to be first. It's important to keep going. Sometimes you will be very slow. Sometimes you will be very fast, but don't stop. And that's very important to start any sort of organization or maybe a business or some. That's three very important things that I've learned so far. And the three thing that I would say people should not do, early exposures are real bad. When you start doing something and at a very beginning, if you get some exposures, I would say be very careful about taking those exposure, because your product or the things that you're trying to develop are not fully grown. And if it gave a wrong information to the people who are looking at it, then you are dead. Nobody is going to believe it, because your first impression is your last impression. So that's the first thing I could say. Second thing that's again come when you grow. I've seen people taking good friends in their team. Avoid taking people to whom you know. Sometimes you have to explore more, find people from different backgrounds who have seen the entire world and take those people instead of taking your friend circle. It's good to have your friends in your company who believes in, but sometimes things can go wrong. People can take you granted because you are their friend. They might don't understand your vision. So it's always important to find good people instead of taking close people in your company. And the third thing would be, don't let things come on your head. I've seen people just going down just because of one reason. When you grow, a lot of media exposure come to you. And if you can do one thing, just try to be humble when you get some opportunity. Don't forget your past or the reason why you started. Because the day you forget those things, that why you started, then that's the start toward the end. And that's what you should not do.
Well, that is great, Prashant. Thank you for, you know, giving two cents of advice to the listeners. I'm sure that everyone would kindly relate to it and, you know, implement that as well. So it's been amazing talking to you, Prashant. Thank you for being here on this podcast.
Thank you, Anand. That's an opportunity for me. Thank you.